Hey, Roland here at 106 and 7/8. We got Jimmy D on Talk is Cheap with Bill Benica, and we have some local Hobbit news to share.
And now, here's Bill Benica.
3 Tesla, 204 coils, 48 simultaneous channels, 5 times faster, 8 times the resolution, and wide open enough to hold a 550-pound person. What does this describe? The new Ultra High Field MRI just installed at San Luis Diagnostic Center. It's the gold standard in diagnostic imaging, previously only available at research hospitals. So don't settle for an outdated closed-in scanner with half the strength when you can choose the new Ultra High Field MRI at San Luis Diagnostic Center. If you live in North or South County, drive a little and get a whole lot more. Lower cost, more comfort, shorter exam time, and image quality never before seen in San Luis Obispo County. For your next MRI, don't settle for an exam on a 10-year-old machine. Insist on San Luis Diagnostic Center's brand new Siemens Skyra. Call 542-9700. The choice is yours.
On Thursdays at 106 and 7/8, Talk is Cheap is delighted to bring you Reel to Reel
with your host, Bill Benica,
and the Palm Theater's Jim D.
We spend time chit-chatting about all things movies, with current hits to box office flops.
And, of course, all the great movies for the week at the Palm. Luckily, Jim is very knowledgeable about the industry.
And as luck would have it, I'm pretty knowledgeable about the movie industry.
Jim and Bill on Reel to Reel Thursdays at 106 and 7/8.
We're only in it for the movies.
We're in it for the movies, baby. All right, we'll do that today. All right, let's do your Bill Becker Talk is Cheap Friends and Neighbors Network at 12, we'll call it 14. Because we're a couple seconds away from them. And then today, now, originally there was supposed to be 30-mile-an-hour gusty winds today. Now, if all of a sudden it starts, I don't know what to say. But then they changed the forecast to 10, 15 miles an hour. This, so I don't know. Let's find out our who's it's and what it's here. Highlight history on from the Tribune. Our highlight history on December 6, 1922, the Anglo-Irish Treaty, which established the Irish Free State, came into force 1 year to the day after it was signed in London. On this date in 1790, Congress moved to Philadelphia from New York. In 1884, Army engineers completed construction of the Washington Monument by setting an aluminum capstone atop the obelisk, which was very, very rare at the time. 1889, Jefferson Davis, the first and only president of the Confederate States of America, died in New Orleans. In 1907, the worst mining disaster in U.S. history occurred as 362 men and boys died in a coal mine explosion in Monaga, West Virginia. 1942, comedian Fred Allen premiered Allen's Alley, a recurring sketch on a CBS radio show spoofing small-town America. 1957, America's first attempt to put a satellite into orbit failed as Vanguard TV-3 rose about 4 feet off a Cape Canaveral launch pad before crashing down and exploding. Yeah, you'll have that sometime. Birthdays today. Actress Jo Beth Williams is 64. Comedian Stephen Wright is 57. Rock musician Peter Buck is 56. Writer-director Judd Apatow is 45. Actress Lindsay Price is 36. And as Stephen Wright would say, you can't have everything. Where would you put it?
Happy birthday to you.
At Idlers, we are a family-owned company, and we love where we live.
We are your neighbors.
We are How'd You Sleep Last Night?
Idlers Sleep Source has the perfect beds for a perfect night's sleep.
Ready for perfect?
Try Sealy, Simmons Beauty Rest, Tempur-Pedic.
We have them all and more.
At every price.
Free delivery, free setup, free haul away, every day.
Paso,
San Luis Obispo,
Idlers.net.
Idler Sleep Source. Best prices guaranteed.
Here's the news. Another action-filled adventure.
News you can use from Calcos News and 1340 KYMS, your news station. A preliminary hearing Wednesday in the Disney Myers murder case revealed statements by one of the defendants explaining his role in the killing of the 15-year-old Santa Maria girl. Cody Miller told San Luis Obispo County Sheriff's deputies and firefighters that the new the office other participants in the Cody Miller told San Luis Obispo County Sheriff's deputies and firefighters that the other participants in the September 26, 2010 killing of Myers coerced him into participating in the gruesome murder. He told us that he participated because if he didn't, he would be injured or something bad would happen to him, basically. Sheriff's Detective Eric Twisselman testified. Deputy John McKinney testified that Miller also stated it was like a killing a fly with a bazooka. McKinney said that Miller, who had the task of keeping Myers quiet, beating her, carrying her in a bag, and dropping her in a hole, worried that the other defendants would kill him. He found himself lying in the hole after she had been dumped in there. He stood up. He got knocked back into the hole. He got up and started running, McKinney said. He was chased by Jacob York, but said he didn't really believe Jacob was trying very hard to catch him. Earlier testimony revealed that Miller had told first responders that Hill, the lone defendant facing the death penalty, had raped him. Once Miller arrived at a hospital, he feared Hill would find him. Numerous times he had been looking around the emergency room trying to look through the windows to see if Ty Hill was going to come in and get him, McKinney said. McKinney had the assignment of guarding Miller while he was in the hospital, the deputy testified. Wednesday's hearing completed 3 days of testimony from law enforcement and firefighters on their interaction with Miller following the murder. Hill's attorney did not want the evidence admitted for trial and have questioned the coherence of Miller when he made the statements to first responders. A later hearing will determine whether the testimony from this week's preliminaries will be admitted for trial. The Myers murder trial scheduled will begin on September 4th and will consist of five defendants and two separate juries, as decided by Judge Barry LaBarbera. I like the place. I got to tell you, I like it. The owners of Fresh and Easy announced Wednesday that because the stores are failing the U.S. market, they are reviewing options such as selling or closing the chain. It is now clear that the Fresh and Easy will not deliver acceptable shareholder returns on appropriate time frame in its current form, said Tesco CEO Philip Clark in a statement. While Fresh and Easy has many positives, its journey to scale and acceptable returns will take too long relative to other opportunities. I have therefore decided to conduct a strategic review of Fresh and Easy with all options under consideration. Earlier this year, the county's only Fresh and Easy neighborhood market opened on Broad Street in San Luis Obispo amid much fanfare. At the time, Tesco marketed the store as having Trader Joe's type specialty foods with Walmart prices, a claim deemed inaccurate by many. The California-based grocery chain opened in 2007. Tesco has invested around $1.5 billion in the U.S. Venture with almost 200 stores employing more than 5,000 people. And now, if it goes out, if it's for whatever reason, I don't think that Albertsons is going to want to go in there, which they were dying to get in there the whole time, but I think now they would do it. I'm just guessing. An Oceana man who allegedly stole a truck in Rio Grande rammed a police car and led officers on a chase that ended across the street from the high school is currently being held in the San Luis Obispo County Jail. Officers investigating a report of a truck stolen from the 7-Eleven store on East Grand Avenue found Brandon Michael Creary, 30, and the white Ford Ranger on the 800 block of Olive Street, along with sheriff deputies, a Rio Grande police officer attempted to conduct a traffic stop, on Creary shortly after 11 a.m. on Wednesday. Before he fled from police, Creary backed up and rammed into both of police cruiser and a deputy's vehicle. Officers pursued Creary until the vehicle he was driving broke down a field directly across from the Rio Grande High School. The school was placed on lockdown for safety of the students. California High Patrol, K-9 units, and air support arrived to offer assistance. Creary continued to resist arrest even after a CHP dog bit him several times. A sheriff's deputy then struck the suspect several times with a baton. Creary, however, continued to ignore officers' commands to leave the vehicle. He was eventually removed from the truck by deputies and officers and taken into custody. Emergency personnel transported Creary to the Rio Grande Community Hospital emergency room to be treated for injuries. He was then booked into the San Luis Obispo County Jail on charge of vehicular theft, assault on a peace officer, resisting arrest, hit and run, DUI, being under the influence of illegal narcotic and possession of an opium pipe. Whew. All right. And so at 12:21, you're up to the minute with Cal Coast News on 1340 KYNS, your news station.
CalCoastNews.com on KYNS, your news station.
This guy was a real measle, I tell you that right there. Okay, let's call it 12:21 right now, and you're Bill. Thanks for joining me. Christmas time is coming. So we'll have some Christmassy music today. Now, and what we'll do is during our movie segment for the next 3 weeks, we'll have a little Christmas tune. I can't do name that tune because the first one's so obvious. You can't not name it. But then we'll have some Christmas music. Okay. Let's get on with it then. Okay. You know what's weird is the supervisors are doing these things that you, in some cases, you'd say, well, that makes sense because you're about to have a new supervisor. that's going to be seated in January. But that's not why they don't do things or do things. They do it because they have other motives, which is always strange. Supervisors put off a vote on growth rule. It's being shelved, and because they don't want to seem didn't want to be seen as ramming through legislation just for a new supervisor with a different mindset who could change the outcome. Anyway, but it's hard to say, really. This is why all of a sudden this is important to them. I don't know. Why all of a sudden that matters, but okay. All right. This story is so weird. Can I read part of it to you? Because it's really strange. It's very, very strange. Headline is, oft-decried polygraphs, commonly used by feds, proved as traumatic, inaccurate tests may have been done on many government workers. She was one of the brightest students at a leading university when the Central Intelligence Agency offered her a job as a counterterrorism analyst. But first, the 19-year-old was warned she had to undergo a polygraph test to determine whether she should be trusted. Instead of scrutinizing her ability to guard government secrets, polygraphers asked her about her reported rape and miscarriage, the woman recalled. Over at least 8 hours in 3 separate sessions, polygraphers repeatedly demanded to know her innermost thoughts even after she started sobbing in shame. At one point, one of the polygraphers said to me, "Turn on the light inside so I can see." I was amazed at how creepy and invasive the whole process was. But last year, more than 73,000 Americans across the country submitted to polygraph tests. That's what it takes. Even if they're not accurate, doesn't matter. And if you're really good, they always say you can beat a polygraph test anyway. So yeah, maybe she's really good. Maybe she'd practice. Yeah, we had a story yesterday in the news, and they have a story in the Tribune today about the extended use of breast cancer drugs are recommended. And the problem is that it seems like one problem is that women, react to it badly. A lot of women react to the drug badly, and so they just want to stop taking it. This is tamoxifen, and then. Their other problem is that doctors are only prescribing it for so long, and what they've discovered is if they keep somebody on it for longer, they'll last longer. The longer they last, the less they longer. So that's what they're trying to figure out right there. All right. I've been sitting here debating whether I want to do this. I don't want to do this, but you have to hear it because I can't believe such a thing exists in the whole wide world. Somebody actually did that. Somebody actually put that to a CD. Okay, so I just thought I'd show you that these things happen in our country. As disappointing as they may seem. All right, other things going on. We got stories and tales to tell here, and we'll pass that on here in a sec. Other things that are going on. Well, here's another of these stories that just is going to upset you, but okay. Lawmakers bought cars fixed by state. So what they basically did was they wanted to buy the cars before they decided to shorten some of this mileage and all that stuff they got. State-owned cars. So what they did is that they first had the cars fixed, had tires put on, had transmissions put in, the whole thing, and you and I paid for it. Does it seem like the people in Sacramento are dishonest? Yeah.
CNN.
Radio.
A study released this week shows that fewer medical students are choosing to become family doctors and instead opt to become specialists. This trend can result in a shortage of primary care physicians at a time when health care reform goes into full effect. I'm CNN's Jim Roop. In 1997, Congress capped the number of medical students it would pay for through Medicaid reimbursement at teaching hospitals. Atul Grover with the Association of American Medical Colleges says that law is the reason there are fewer doctors to care for an increasing, longer living population. And it's only going to get worse with health care reform, because getting in to see a doctor is going to be more like going to the Department of Motor Vehicles.
None of us are really accustomed to the kind of waits we're going to have to endure just to get in the door to see a doctor. It's because all those people who are currently uninsured will all of a sudden wake up in 2014 and have an insurance card and try to access health care services.
A new study released in the medical journal JAMA says of the more than 57,000 med students in internal medicine, only 21% plan to practice primary care. And this is not a trend that's new at all. Over the past decade, the number of med students who get into family medicine has dropped 50%, says Dr. Patrick Dowling, chairman of the Department of Family Medicine at UCLA.
You need between 40 or 50% of your doctors to be generalists for your system to work. I mean, that's what the research shows. And we're at 32% at the country now.
Nationwide?
32%. And we're now producing 18 to 20%.
But why? What's the reason for that decline?
Really gets down to income, lifestyle, and prestige.
You see, family doctors who are on the front line of medical care don't make as much money as specialists, and they usually work longer hours. But Dowling says we're living in a material world, and the urge for a nice lifestyle is giving way to the other motives that lead people to practice medicine.
Some of that idealism that fueled the beginning of family medicine has dissipated in the country.
So people are getting into medicine for the money?
Well, people always start out, I think they're altruistic. They want to serve. They want to take care of people. They're very good people. But then they look at the money you can make in medicine, and that influences a great deal. Not everybody. There are some people that get in it that are truly, you know, we're going to take care of these people no matter what.
One such person is fifth-year med student Molly Diaz.
In going through medical school, you kind of go through a process of looking at different specialties and kind of seeing what's a good fit for you. And I really tried to focus on that as I went through. And coming into medical school, I was interested in pediatrics. I was interested in primary care. And so I wanted to keep an open mind, but I also kind of knew where my interests were. And I agree that you can make a fantastic living as a doctor regardless of specialty. And I think if you're spending, you know, however many years of your life, 30 to 40 years of your life, doing something that you actually don't enjoy and you're just doing for the money, then you're not going to get as much long-term enjoyment from that, no matter how much money you're making.
Now, let's not forget that many medical students graduate with huge student loans that can take decades to pay off. So it's not just greed that drives med students away from family medicine. It's the fear of never-ending debt. Dowling says to reverse the shortage of primary care doctors, how doctors get paid is going to have to change. The pay for internists and specialists is going to have to even out. What the Affordable Care Act, or Obamacare, may facilitate, says Dowling, is doctors getting a salary instead of fee for service or pay per procedure.
Which I think is a good thing. The Mayo Clinic is run on a salary. All those doctors are on a salary.
Other medical providers like Kaiser HMO already pay doctors a salary. And Dowling says that is the best way to even out income and keep students in primary care. But putting doctors on a salary is not going to sit well with those who can earn more with specialty medicine. And Dowling says, too, that one way to make up for the shortage of doctors is the increased use of nurse practitioners and physician assistants who can treat many ailments.
If you go into the local CVS drugstore around here in the back, and it's always in the back of the store, you'll find a Minute Clinic. You've got to walk through all the, the aisles, yeah. And there'll be a nurse practitioner in there to care for straightforward problems, ear infections, rashes, whatever, and that is fine for us, and we're connected in with those systems. So there's all different things to put a system together that's more realistic, using non-physician providers.
Recruiting and retaining students in primary care medicine is going to take some time, say both Dowling and Dr. Grover with the Association of American Medical Colleges. So the doctor shortage for now will only get worse before it gets better, hopefully in time for when the full implementation of the Affordable Care Act kicks in 2014. Jim Roop, CNN.
It truly is the simple, everyday things that make life beautiful. The simple spring song of the robin, a child's laughter. Hearing loss can occur at any age, and Dr. Karen Scott at Karen Scott Audiology has an important reminder for you today. Have your loved one's hearing checked, today and often. But when you do, rely on a professional audiologist and not a walk-in center. A professional like Dr. Karen Scott and her team at Karen Scott Audiology, who have been serving our community for over 30 years with professional-level hearing aids, hearing testing, industrial screenings, and more. The birds are singing, the children are laughing, and the sounds are like poetry to your soul. This is not a gift to be left unattended. This is a gift to be nurtured and enjoyed for many years to come. That's what we do every day here at Karen Scott Audiology. Love your loved one today. Visit Dr. Karen Scott at 3220 South Higuera Street, Suite 320 in San Luis Obispo, or call 541-1790 to schedule a hearing test today. For more info, visit us online at KarenScottAudiology.com. Hear a beautiful day.
Get hooked on Charter and go where satellite can't. Get hooked on Charter Digital. Choice, convenience, clarity, control. Get hooked on Charter High Speed on your internet. It's faster, it's more convenient, and it's a lot easier. Get hooked on Charter DVR. Record programs when you want to see them. Watch them back when you want to see them. Get hooked on Charter HDTV and see the cleanest, clearest pictures you've ever seen on TV. Get hooked on Charter and go where satellite can't. Call 1-866-332-6749 today. That's 1-866-332-6749. Charter. Get hooked.
I know that when you hear the name Pacific Coast Kitchen and Bath, you immediately think of great flushing Toto toilets. Or maybe it's our state-of-the-art Growy kitchen and bath faucets. Or maybe it's those tiny massaging bubbles of a Jason Comfort Air Bath. But here's something you may not know. We have the most fabulous line of cabinet and door hardware on the Central Coast. Knobs and pulls created for whatever look you desire. Rustic, modern, craftsman, Asian, in durable, long-lasting finishes like Venetian bronze, brushed nickel, distressed copper, or even cloisonné. The choices are endless, the quality superb. You'll find that Pacific Coast Kitchen and Bath has the county's widest selection of bathroom vanity cabinets in all types of designs. Roomy linen storage cabinets, beveled mirror medicine cabinets, and handcrafted wall mirrors. That's Pacific Coast Kitchen and Bath behind Trader Joe's in San Luis Obispo.
Once upon a Christmas Eve, a shepherd who believed that peace could come to in-need man made a promise to a star above. The day that love began, I will give to him my lamb. A shepherd's all I am. And so he walked the lonely sand to find the place his heart was dreaming of. The day that love began. Over meadows, over mountains, they came from valleys and from streams. Every poet and every king, and one little shepherd with a dream. But as the shepherd knelt to pray, his lamb just ran away, and teardrops filled his empty hand. He broke his promise to a star above, the day that love began. Then the smiling face of Mary beckoned the shepherd to her side. Today you gave him Christmas Eve, a shepherd who believed that peace could come to end. Any man found the place his heart was dreaming of, and he gave his promise to a star above. The day that love began.
Ooh. Love Began right there with Stevie Wonder. That's from his CD, Someday at Christmas, which I am very, very fond of, as a matter of fact. It is 22 minutes before the hour of 1. You're with Bill Benica. Don't forget, we have at 106 and 7 HMD coming in from the Palm Theater. We're going to talk movies and stuff and all like that. And then and then tomorrow we're going to have at noon 06 and 7 8, we're going to have Karen Veeley in. All right. Two North County nonprofits have moved, the Women's Shelter and the SARP program, that's the Sexual Assault Recovery and Prevention Center. I knew it, but I wasn't making sure. Anyway, so they've decided to merge together and become one thing, and actually that's probably a good idea. I was listening to? I don't know, something. Anyway, but a certain amount of money was going to be donated to Big Brothers and Big Sisters. Now, this is I'm going to say this to you. I worked for Big Brothers and Big Sisters. I was a caseworker for them. I was a Big Brother. But somehow, in San Luis Obispo, they seem to have the magic touch. I don't know what's going on with that. I've never even met anybody that has anything to do with Big Brothers here in this town. But they sure get a lot of donations. So here, donate to the North County nonprofits right there. Sexual Assault Recovery and Prevention Program, the Women's Shelter. Would you please help the women out? Now, this woman was trying to help herself out to like $1.5 million. It wasn't hers, so she got 5 years in prison. And so that's what happened to her. And that's Linda Kennedy, who's 49, was arrested in July. She's going away for a while. Here they have a picture on the front page. They're laying out this ice skating rink in Atascadero. And don't forget they're going to have an ice skating rink in, I think maybe that's where I heard it, in Madonna at the Expo Center. They're going to have an ice skating rink. And so I think that's where I heard that the first days, first hours, first something. I think it's hourly. You go hourly. Anyway, and part of the money goes to Big Brothers because of something. Anyway, so that's we got ice skating going on, which is really good. Now, if you've never ice skated, by the way, or it's been a long, long time, you'll probably really stink at it. You know, it's not like you see the people in Rockefeller Center gliding around, know what they're doing, you know, like the Olympics or all that. These people know how to skate. They've been doing it for years. When you start out, you're no good. I'm going to promise you, you're no good. You will be no good. That's the way it is. Can't do anything about it. Oh, by the way, what the heck, Benica? Let us congratulate together Kobe Bryant for 30,000 career points, though only the fifth person ever do it. And so that's totally cool. And so they got special shirts. Nike's coming out with special shirts and everything. But it's an amazing achievement. It's really cool. And they're really happy. I would have thought, you know, can I be honest with you? They should have stopped the game. They should have stopped the game for a minute. And, you know, stop the clock and stop the game and let Kobe bow to the audience, whatever, and they would have clapped and applauded and done all kinds of great things. They didn't do that. They just kept going. Didn't make sense to me. Here's even a here's a Zamboni for the ice rink right here. This is ready for action. Okay, a Zamboni. So that's kind of exciting right there. Okay. Wardens are criticized for shooting cougar cubs in Half Moon Bay Yard. Department of Fish and Game wardens killed the 9-month-old cougar Saturday night, saying that they didn't attempt to tranquilize the 30-pound animals because of concerns they might escape and become a threat to public safety. Somebody said they should have tranquilized them. You know, wildlife experts said they should have been notified to assess the danger before the cubs were shot. You know, the cops, they have a gun. They've been taught to use a gun. They use it. That's what they do. There is enough evidence to pursue assault and battery charge against former Cal Poly and Oakland Raiders football coach Randy Hansen, a former defensive back coach for Cal Poly, appeared in court for a preliminary hearing Police reports a heavily intoxicated Hansen had been partying in Pismo Beach on August 3rd when he struck a man in the face with a beer bottle. Other than that, he's a fun guy. Dozens of college students were displaced during finals week by a fire Tuesday at an 18-unit Murray Street apartment building, the San Luis Obispo Fire Department said. And that screws up your finals, you know. You're trying to pay attention. But look at the poor people back east. 5 weeks, a lot of people have had no electricity. 5 weeks. Can it take that long to string a wire? I don't know. I don't know anything about it. I've never been a lineman for the county. So I don't know, but it's been a long time. Grover's to seat their first female mayor, Debbie Peterson, was elected to the council in 2008. She'll be sworn into a two-year term. Congratulations to her. Yeah. Congratulating people all around, I'll tell you, that's what we're doing. And Idlers has a big ad right here, and this is what you got here. Receive up to $1,000 installation allowance, installations on us, free appliances, your purchase, your reward. They have this beautiful new refrigerator, Gen Air Affair, that's stainless steel, only $19,999,999,995. I don't know why they still make it nine. Anyway, there's a thing right there. Okay, here's what the Tribune had to say about Bruce Gibson. It says he shouldn't resign. And if some voters wish to oust the supervisor for his affair or for his politics, then they should try to do so and next time he's up for election. Or re-election, as the case may be. Yeah, the other supervisors haven't said a word about the whole thing. They just remain mum. Mum, I tell you. And whatever. I told you I didn't think he should resign. You know, I don't think he should resign. She should. She should. She's now collecting $68,000 a year from Bruce Gibson, who doesn't use her. Well, for work. And so that doesn't make sense to me. So if somebody was going to step up and do the right thing, I would think that Sherry Aspuro would. But apparently that's not what's happening. Okay, I had another thing from the second one be about Dave Brubeck. Other things, that's why we played a song today, of course. What else we got in here? Catherine from Cambria wrote this. After having trouble with the start and stop dates of the Tribune's delivery on two consecutive occasions, I was impressed at being able to speak to a real person trying to correct the problem. However, with the issue not being resolved, I inquired as to where I was calling, and he said he was in the Philippines. So I was surprised to read Tribune copy editor Steve Provost's November 23rd article trapped in telephone limbo regarding his complaints and frustration of having persons from the Philippines or India attempting to resolve our problems. It's a sad state of affairs where our local paper cannot support a local workforce, but instead revolves, that's not the right word, that's what she wrote, to cheap labor elsewhere. By supporting the Tribune, we are condoning the very concept that Steve Provost was denouncing. And as far as the internet maze, at least we don't have to wrestle with each other's accents. There you go, right there. Okay. Joy, who's from Paso Robles, said that the people at... here's what Joy would... she's sort of going for a lobotomy affair right here. She's saying the people at the Tascadero State Hospital, the patients should be sedated, heavily sedated, and that way they can't cause a problem. Or the lobotomy thing would work. Like in the old days, right through the nose. Yeah, it was a... okay, the mind boggles. Helen's mind is boggled. Republicans think Americans are stupid. Following John McCain's and Lindsey Graham's logic, Condoleezza Rice and Colin Powell is guilty of misstatements as Susan Rice is. If Texas secedes, the average American IQ will jump 20 points. Woo, that's a little harsh. Okay, a little harsh. Okay, all right. U.S. olive oil producers seek a level playing field because the Congressional Trade Commission is looking at global measures such as establishing industry funds and standards and all that. It's another thing where the government's going to get involved in what the olive oil industry does, and so that's they'll screw it up. Okay. And then they had John Kerry was on TV today, and he was talking about how this idea of having a disability act approved with us signing on the UN, and he was adamant about saying we don't have to pay any attention to anything the UN says. then why would we bother to get involved in it? If he's so adamant that it actually has no effect on us, then why bother? Right? Why bother? I guess you should comment on Fresh and Easy. I've gone to the Fresh and Easy Market on Broad Street. They have their food is healthy, like, you know, Trader Joe's. Their food is very healthy. How they make it price wise, is it Walmart-ish? I really don't think it's that. I don't know how would I know? I've never shopped at Walmart, so I have no idea. I never bought a donut from Walmart. Anyway, but the one thing they have there that's really nice is they got a lot of half price stuff. You know, just before it expires, they put on a place for half price. It's pretty nice. So anyway, they have self checkout, which is always maddening. They haven't perfected self checkout anywhere yet, as far as I'm concerned. There's always you always have to have somebody that's there that says, "Oh, here's what happened, and here's what you do, and all that kind of stuff." And it's annoying, but there you go. And if you buy anything on sale, that she has to or he has to input it manually. If it's on sale, they have to input some number manually. So that's something I'm going to tell you right there. All right, other than that, natural gas exports touted by report in a finding that could help create a new industry of natural gas exports. The United States, a government study released Wednesday, concluded the national economic benefits of significant natural gas exports far outweigh the potential for higher energy prices for consumers and industrial uses of the fuel. Whatever. Yeah. As long as we have something we can sell somewhere else, then you can go ahead and pay for more, too. You and I can. We can pay more money for it because it's in the long run. It's helping us because we're selling it to somebody else also at a high price. Why don't we sell it to them at a high price and not have ours price be high? I know. It's market-driven and all that. I got you. All right. Will Google face an antitrust probe? In fact, there was an article. Let me see if I can find it here for you real quick. There's an article on one of these thingies here. Guess which one, Bill. Come on. Guess which one. Guess which one. Guess. I'm going to guess it's this one. Okay. We'll find out if I'm anywhere near correct. But anyway, the Justice Department has begun meeting with companies that long have accused Google of illegally skewing its search results and are losing faith the Federal Trade Commission will act forcefully on their complaints. Those familiar with the meetings with justice officials say they are preliminary in nature and was not clear if they would lead to any action. So there it is right there. Marijuana, by the way, let me mention this in the interim. They had a big marijuana party last night in Seattle by the Space Needle because now here's what's weird. You can smoke it. You can only have an ounce of it. You're just not allowed to buy it. It's illegal to buy it. So they didn't say how much you could grow, so I'm not exactly sure what's going on with that. Let's see what we got here. They had another thing that, where did I see this? It was on the internet. I think it was on the internet. Yeah, it was on the internet. And a photographer whose name I can't tell you, they sent on a Russian rocket, it went up into space, and it'll be there forever. It's going out into space. It was a gold disc with photographs on it of the Earth. And if you, I don't know what you'd Google to find it, but I'd put photographs of Earth on gold disc. I thought they were a strange collection of photographs. I really do. They had one of cherry blossoms in Washington that was nice. But other than that, they mostly had to do with bad things, you know, storms and funnel clouds and all kinds of weird stuff. I didn't quite how that represents the Earth. It's all by itself right there. Yeah. Anyway, you think you'd show the Grand Canyon, perhaps, you know, something like that. That's earthy, yeah, something like that. Okay. I was tempted to play another long thing, but I'm not going to. But we have a solar power plane that's going to sail around the world, and it's very fascinating. It's very, very light. That's remarkably light, and it's made out of special stuff and all that. And so it's going to take 5 days and five nights. And part of the problem, I mean, one of the obstacles they have is, first off, they have to avoid storms at all costs because they'll just get knocked out of the sky. It has to, they said it has to land at least 30 miles an hour. If it is anything less than that, I mean by like 28 miles an hour, it'll stall and just crash. People have to run after it and grab the wings as it's landing so the wings don't hit the ground because it's real long wings. Anyway, and some guy, who did a balloon thing, some famous balloon thing, he's the guy that's going to do this. Anyway, and the other thing is it has no heater. Right? I mean, it has no temperature control in the thing. So it's going to be really hot in the day, and it's going to be really cold at night in that thing for 5 days and five nights. Okay, but anyway, that's what's going on there. All right, and I never came across the darn story I was going to tell you about with Google. Yeah, apparently it wasn't here in this department where I was looking. It was someplace else. So. Okay. Tense calm in Cairo after deadly clashes. So, and here's the thing. Tandem base jumping gaining popularity. It's becoming more mainstream, base jumping with your partner. Okay. You know where that's going to lead, don't you? Okay. That's not going to be good. And the other thing they said here, I'm just going to read some of these headlines right here. Here's a New York City cop said that a father fatally punched a baby for disturbing his video game. You know, you can't know what's going on in the whole world. Okay, and then if you want to look on the internet, there's some new sensor board. The NPP satellite is allowing science to observe Earth's atmosphere and surface during nighttime hours in greater detail than ever before. So they have pictures of the Earth in greater detail than you've ever seen before. It's really Groovius Maximus. So you might want to look it up at some point and see what it is. All right. So I'm going to try another place here in a minute. Here's weather apps that might help you on the go. Weather Channel. Yeah. Mm-hmm. AccuWeather. Weather Bug. Oh, here's a conclusion. Weather Channel. You get lots of information on current conditions and the most options of the three for viewing maps. Limiting hourly forecast to 25 hours or less is stingy. On the Weather Channel website, I get 2 days of hourly forecast. The home on AccuWeather, they said that the app could be better with its hourly forecast if it also ought to be easier to change locations. The activities forecast shows promises, though, that I long for more details. And the other one, WeatherBug, I find WeatherBug to be the easiest to use of the three, and I love the extended hourly forecast. It's a good choice as long as you're not looking for a lot of video and a forecast beyond 7 days. And so then you have to ask yourself about the guy that's doing this and say to yourself, what's going on with it? Is it? Oh, this is a video. I found it. I thought it was a video. It's not. I don't think. But anyway, I thought we have an audio daily double, but we don't have it. I'm not sure. Oh, we do have it. I'm not sure what the hourly idea is. I mean, when I look up the weather, you know, I have the Weather Channel thing that comes up on my computer, so I can see it. But I don't really use the hourly thing very much. It doesn't really matter to me. You know, it's whatever. When I look out the window, that's what it is, and I just go, okay, that's what it is out there. So, I don't know, maybe I should be more picky about that. All right, I'm gonna start exploring and investigating. Okay, here we go.
This holiday, share everything. Share, not even close.
I'll tell you what it's for once they tell me.
Share, you owe me.
So I think it's a smartphone.
Share, just right. The Share Everything plan. Shareable data across 10 devices with unlimited talk and text.
Oh, okay, no, it's not Share Everything. It is. Share Everything. Is it Horizon? Is it AT&T? Who is it? Wait a minute. That happened so fast you couldn't see it again.
Voice recognition software.
On a recent episode of CBS's The Good Wife, a small software company took a giant search engine to court, alleging it was being unfairly buried in search results.
We dropped. Overnight, we dropped. Now you have to flip through 28 pages of search results to find us.
That mirrors some of the real-life allegations against Google. Antitrust authorities here and in Europe are investigating whether Google manipulates its search results and puts its products higher or more prominently to the detriment of competitors.
You've cooked it.
so that you're always third. Let's move on.
Senator, may I simply say that I can assure you we've not cooked anything.
Google Chairman Eric Schmidt faced tough questions last year while testifying in front of a Senate subcommittee.
The sentiment seemed to suggest that your algorithm favors Google products. Is that true?
Well, as I said, we are. Well, first place, I disagree with that characterization. And what I said over and over again was we're trying to get to the right answer.
And the weird part about this is if you were Google and you didn't do that, you'd be an idiot.
According to some competitors, they're serving up answers advantageous to Google. Appearing at the same hearing, Jeremy Stoppelman, the CEO of Yelp, a site that enables users to search and review local businesses, a service now also provided by Google itself.
What we're most concerned about is that Google is no longer satisfied with pointing users at the best content anywhere on the web it can be found. Instead, it seems they prefer to send users to the most profitable content on the web, which is naturally their own.
Critics might point to the following example. Say you're looking for Chinese food in Washington, D.C. At the top of the page, Google lists many restaurants with links to reviews, Google reviews. Click on any one of them, and you're taken to a page on Google+, the company's social network. You can then read an in-depth review from Zagat, a company that happens to be owned by, you guessed it, Google. This may not happen all the time. In fact, sometimes competitors will come up first. But the complaint is that Google often drives traffic to its many services and products, depriving other companies of a level playing field.
When a company begins to get a huge market share so that they seem to be able to control competition coming in and out of the field, this is something the government looks at.
As Google points out, they're providing useful information and for free, and consumers don't seem to be complaining. But there's a ton at stake here for Google, from lawsuits to fines to possible changes in the way it operates, all of which could be costly and time-consuming. Google says it just wants to create products that delight its users and that competition is just one click away. But Google reigns supreme. Two-thirds of all web searches in the U.S. are made on the site. The question is whether the company is using its enormous advantage to stifle competition. Dan Simon, CNN, Mountain View, California.
It's interesting what they're saying about whether they're stifling competition or they're just putting their product first. That doesn't necessarily stifle competition. If people like Yelp, for instance, they'll use Yelp. But I see what they're saying. Okay, fine. Let's do some CBS News here next on 1340 KYNS. San Luis Obispo and Jimmy D will be in. We'll do movies.
Hey, kids. Remember, lots of adults and kids, too, paid admission to enjoy the show. We must insist on absolute quiet.
Dan, dan, dan. Big music. We deserve big music. I'm going to tell you that. Jim D and I are here together. And hi, Jimmy. Nice to see you.
Nice to see you, Bill.
It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. It was supposed to be really windy today, so I don't know what happened to that. And so I was going to go kite flying, but I'm not now.
This morning, it was windy.
It was where
I think
you were?
I think it's dying down now.
Where I was, it wasn't windy. I don't know what that's about. All right. Well, you were downtown. You know, you would understand. Let's talk about all kinds of things that are going on. One of the things I want to talk about is Bilbo Boo-Boo and the Hobbit here, because there's a local company that has developed this technique of instead of having 24 frames per second in a movie, having 48 frames per second in a movie. Now, what's interesting is someone wrote in here at the bottom of this. This is on calcosnews.com. Here's an old trailer. So that's I don't know what that means, an old trailer they have on here. But anyway, she said it was. She didn't like the new technology. She said she didn't think. I don't know where she would have seen it. Where would she have seen it?
I wonder if they're doing tests with this. It's apparently more clarity. I mean, I guess the only way to describe it is higher than high definition, if that's possible.
Okay, here's what she said. By many reports, it gives it an edgy look and is more suitable for the Dark Knight franchise than Tolkien's Hobbit. I think she's just passing on stuff she's read without having actually seen it yet. So that's one would have to see it. Now, here's the one part that I didn't get. I just didn't understand this at all. Let me read you this one little thing here. First, we should say who this company is.
Holy cow, it's a long article. 40 frames per second, twice the speed of traditional movies. And every second of footage normally is made up of just 24 pictures, producing movement artifacts like strobing, flicker, and motion blur with fast camera movements and high action scenes, which is also a problem that some digital TVs have, you know, some HD TVs have. If something's moving real fast, it kind of chops it up.
Yeah.
Now, but here's what I was going to say. High frame thingy, there's the largest advancement in shooting speed in about 80 years, they say, according to industry leaders, has never been seen on the big screen before. Now, here's the weird paragraph. Now in the digital age, there's no reason whatsoever to stick to 24 frames per second. We didn't get it perfect in 1927, says Director Jackson on his Facebook page. Science tells us that the human eye stops seeing individual pictures at about 55 frames per second. Therefore, shooting at 48 frames per second gives you much more of an illusion of real life. Why wouldn't they have just made it 55 frames a second?
Or 56?
Or 57. 60. Well, go ahead and we'll round it off to multiples of 12. You know what I mean? Why wouldn't they have done that?
I don't know. It's an interesting analysis. But, I mean, you know, I mean, the concept is pretty simple. I mean, you and I have been in radio for years. And if you're going to record something on old magnetic tape, your quality is much poorer if it's going slower.
Right.
If it's going faster, the quality is better because I guess there's less information on this hunk of magnetic tape.
Right.
Maybe the same concept applies to film. Of course, film is disappearing. We're talking about the digital age and how that is a faster representation or a faster, you know, flicker. I'm not sure how it works, but the clarity on The Hobbit, I guess, is the premier film, you know, announcing this new technology, which takes it to a higher definition.
Now, they are saying that it works better than 3D normally has been. It makes it less eye strain on your eyes.
Well, you know, interestingly, the guy who installed the digital projectors at the Palm has seen these, and his take on it is not only that motion that you're talking about that might blur or give you a little bit of a streak or whatever. He said this new format might do away with 3D because it looks so clear. It almost is 3D with the clarity. That was his take on it. He says, hey, I've seen some of this. It's like 3D without the 3D glasses.
Now, will you have to buy all new equipment?
No, my digital equipment will handle this new process.
I was going to say, geez, and it's like buying an iPad and find out the next day they've invented another one.
Yeah, oh, I've got the number 4, number 5 comes out tomorrow.
That's right. That's interesting. This is called, I'm trying to see what it stands for, HFR, high frequency resolution. I don't know. I'm trying to see what it means. HFR, I'm not finding it. But anyway.
Yeah. You know, it could be that the movie industry, this is just an opinion, you know, the digital projection in theaters does look like your high-definition television at home. That picture is pretty darn clear, and not that film couldn't replicate that as well. Now they've got to, you know, go a couple more steps above that high-definition TV at home, and maybe this new process that they're going to premiere with The Hobbit will do that.
I got high frame rate. Which makes sense. High frame rate.
There you go.
It should have been a FF faster frame rate.
I should have known that.
I should have known that, too.
No, not you. Me.
I don't know. Anyway, so there it is. So this is at the Fremont Theater in San Luis Obispo. Fans will get the state-of-the-art view of Goblins, Dwarves, and Wizards in a fantastic theater. So this is set for 60 years before The Lord of the Rings. Is what The Hobbit is. They say is that's when it supposedly occurs.
Well, the books, I guess, The Hobbit was the prequel to the trilogy, and I think they're actually planning like 2 or 3 Hobbit movies because this Lord of the Rings J.R.R. Tolkien franchise seems to be a profitable one.
All right, here's the guy's name. This is at Cashin's USL. That's the name of the company. Cashin's USL.
Oh, it's Jack Cashin at Ultra Stereo Labs. They're here in town. Fabulous people. My equipment at the Palm is from Ultra Stereo Labs. And Jack is a great guy. He's a genius.
Well, this it also says he's on Benetti Drive. Where's that?
It's in the industrial area here.
By the airport over here?
We have quite a few industrial areas.
Yeah, we actually have a lot of industrial areas now.
The one over next to Food for Less and
over that way.
But, yeah, they've been in town for quite a while. They are really they really spearhead new and innovative products, anything from sound systems to these visual things to instruments that measure your light on your screen to make sure that it's uniform, things like that. And it's really great to have them here in San Luis Obispo.
They have 40, I think it's at 40 to 49 employees. It's a pretty good size outfit.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, they go all over the world with their equipment. I mean, they are really, you know, head of the pack as far as doing stuff. And they also have an alliance with Dolby. And, of course, they're right on the cusp of all this digital conversion that's happening.
Now, this is interesting. It says... In 1991, 1995, they won awards, you know, for their techniques and what they were doing.
Mm-hmm. They were like, what they were doing back then, and they could probably be a better representation, but back when Dolby Stereo was happening, I mean, when Dolby was almost new in movie theaters, they were offering an alternative that was a whole lot almost better and for a better price. And they were located down in the Los Angeles area.
Tarzana,
and then they moved up to San Luis Obispo.
But most of what you still see is Dolby, isn't it?
There's a different stereo.
Stuff, no. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
I think it's, is it DDS?
Yeah, DTS.
Or
and
DTS
then there's
or something.
Dolby, and yeah. I forget who else. There's THX. I mean, there's a number of different companies that have, almost do pretty much the same thing.
That's really weird. Dolby was invented to get rid of tape hiss.
That's right.
You know, I mean, that was its idea to begin with, was to get rid of tape hiss.
That's
and,
right.
And of course, it evolved from that. And they must be doing, I don't know if they fiddle with it all the time to keep their patent in force or how that works exactly, but they must be doing something. Anyway, here's this is an interesting thing he said here. He said, even in the 80s, when there was a push to do 60 frames per second, the studios virtually passed out when they saw the cost. Because it'd be huge as far as the film. It would be, you know, three times as much almost.
Well, when they were talking about it then, we're talking about not digital. Of course, we're talking about a projector with film running through it, but at a much faster rate. And it would have produced a fantastic picture, but film is...
This is weird. Until I saw this, I mean, I knew that at 24 frames per second that they were able to do the subliminal stuff back in the 50s and 60s that until it was outlawed. And so that... But Your brain consciously didn't register a single frame in 24, but your subconscious could register it. But this is going to be interesting to see because I try to imagine if I'm looking at something, if I'm looking at a movie, the movie doesn't seem to me to be chopped up. It seems to flow smoothly.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'm supposed to have 55 frames to make it do that, they said.
Well, Bill,
maybe I'm real slow. You know,
no,
what I mean?
I'll show you. I would need to show you a 35 millimeter projector. And basically, what happens is you have a piece of film. It's about maybe 2 feet long, and it has 24 frames on it, 24 separate pictures.
Right.
And what happens is the projector is actually pulling each frame down and stopping it, and it happens 24 times in a second. But you see a flow of movement. You don't see all those separate pictures.
So it's like a kind of like old Disney cartoon or whatever.
What they call it on the projector is an intermittent, and it intermittently pulls the film down frame at a time.
I had no idea.
But it's doing it at a very fast rate.
Really?
Yeah, and so if they were to invent a 60 frame per second projector, boy, that thing is hauling through the projector, but each one of those pictures is being pulled down and actually stops for a 60th of a second or a 24th of a second.
Wow.
There you go. You'd have to sort of see it. It probably sounds kind of goofy. And
no,
complex,
no. I understand what it looks like. I mean, I get the idea of what it looks like, but I didn't know that each one stopped. I thought it just ran through it.
It essentially stops.
Wow.
Because, I mean, you're seeing a solid picture on the screen, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Let me do this for a second. Just let me hit this thing on the website. It's a trailer, but it says
hello,
production
welcome
video
to the
number
first
one.
Of our blogs on the making
oh, no,
of the
no,
Hobbit.
No, 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 wait, wait,
it's
wait,
amazing
wait,
to be
wait,
back
wait,
here
wait.
Again. This is
quiet. I'm sorry. This was a like a 10-part series on making the Hobbit.
Here in Wellington.
Oh,
go away now. Okay, go away now. All right, so that was it right there. Okay.
But I think it comes out on the 14th, The Hobbit. I think it'll be huge because, you know, the three Lord of the Rings films were huge. In fact, the third one got a Best Picture Oscar, I think. So I think
Return of the King or something, wasn't
yeah,
it?
That yeah, that was the third one. Yeah. And so now I think all those fans who love the J.R.R. Tolkien books are, you know, chomping at the bit for The Hobbit.
Interesting.
Yeah. And they're probably going to see this new process.
Now, Elijah Wood, I've seen him interviewed recently. Is he in it?
I don't know.
I don't think he would be because he's too old.
Yeah, well, I don't.
He would be 60 years younger, which would be impossible.
But still the same size since he's a hobbit,
since
right?
He's a hobbit. Anyway, that's very weird.
The bottom line is let's hope it's a good movie. You know, the thing, Bill, is we can talk about all these wonderful processes and 3D and everything. Is it a good movie? The thing is, really, if you watch a good movie and you're involved in it, you probably don't really... I mean, having a good presentation is important. A good movie, forget all the bells and whistles.
And I saw somewhere somebody being interviewed, and because of the... Remember back in the old days, there was a movie that they made where they had to dig a trench so that this guy or gal could walk in the trench and therefore be at the right, you know, because the guy was short. I think it was the woman walked in a trench, and I can't remember who the actress or actress was, but I remember the story. Anyway, because the woman was tall, and they wanted to make her shorter than the guy. So they showed him from the waist up all the time, and they had her walking in a ditch. I just heard on one of these talk shows that they've done another movie like that where they had a real bad height problem.
Oh, I think that's been
just a
case forever. I mean,
oh, really?
I mean, but James Cagney was pretty short. Humphrey Bogart, pretty short. You know, I'm sure they were using camera angles to make sure that, you know, Lauren Bacall didn't hover over Humphrey Bogart. So, I don't know for sure, but I know there are a lot of actors that we think are these tall, like Tom Cruise. He's short. Mel Gibson, very short. But
interesting.
I'm sure the camera angles.
You know, I remember the person said something about they did camera angles. They do it a certain way so that, you know, it gives the illusion that, you know, the person's taller. How interesting.
Yeah, I was just I was watching a movie with Joan Fontaine a few days ago. I looked her up. She was like 5'2" or something. You know, this amazing, great actress, and she was just very, very tiny.
There was a lady on, they called her the coupon lady, because she clips coupons, and she's been doing it her whole life, and she understands coupons. She was on the Today Show last week. She's 4'9". And Savannah Guthrie is about 17 feet tall. And they had the two of them standing next to each other. I thought Savannah Guthrie was standing up on something, you know. But it was just, this was a small, at what point are you a midget?
Yeah.
Oh, so what's the qualifications on that?
I don't know.
I don't either. You know what I'm saying? A little person. I guess you're supposed to call them little people. Anyway, okay, fine. She was a little person, and she wasn't a midget, so I see that's not right. All right, so we're going to go on to other things. I got waylaid by a little woman there, 4'9". That's short. All right. Nancy has a friend that was in our wedding and stuff, and I'd be surprised if she's 5 feet tall.
Wow.
Yeah, she's a short little girl. All right. Things that are going on in the movie houses all over the place. I thought that thing about The Hobbit, though, I thought that was interesting stuff than the fact that it was here locally. And now it's even more fun, the fact that you know the guy.
Yeah, the USL Labs, Ultra Stereo Labs, Jack Cashin, they're great. Great to have them here in San Luis Obispo.
All right, let's do this, because I have DVD collections fit for the holidays. So this guy's from the Fresno Bee. These are the ones he came up with. Bond 50, the complete 22 film collection.
Yeah, not including the one that we talked about, Never Say Never Again.
That's right.
So if you're a completist, you get that and that movie. That one that Sean Connery made on his own. Remember? We talked about it?
Oh, yeah.
Yep. It's a remake of Thunderball, but it isn't included in that box set.
It's not included?
Nope.
Really?
And it has Sean Connery.
Now, I have to tell you something. I have every James Bond movie.
Do you have Never Say Never Again?
I don't know. Now I'm going to have to look.
Klaus Maria Brandauer was the villain, and it's a remake of Thunderball.
How interesting. I'm going to have to see now if I have Never Say Never Again. I remember the song.
I think it was pretty, you know, it's Albert Broccoli, you know, those names that are always attached to the Bond films. And this was out of the way. I think Sean Connery didn't get paid or something, so he got the rights and remade it and made some money. Something like that.
It was Saltzman and Broccoli were the two
there
guys.
There you go.
Saltzman and Broccoli. And then I noticed on the James Bond movie that was just out here, mm-hmm. The one that's out now, there's like probably a daughter because it's a woman, something Broccoli.
Yes.
That's a woman's name. So mm-hmm. The family's still involved somehow.
Yeah, in fact, you know, we talked about Skyfall, but I think it's the the highest grossing James Bond film of them all. So it's very popular.
You know, there's another thing that's a little bit curious about when, as movies come along and they say, okay, now this has set a record and the number of people. You know, the other thing is the population of the United States is getting bigger. What do you think the population of the United States was back when Dr. No came out?
Or if Dr. No made $20 million, the admission price was $1.50.
Yeah.
I mean, those numbers are, Hollywood accounting.
Hollywood accounting, that's what they call it. You're right. All right, here's another deal. Doctor Who, the limited edition gift set. Lawrence of Arabia. Holy dump truck. Do you know how much the Doctor Who limited edition gift set is? $249.95. The Bond film is $299.99.
You could probably get it for cheaper. That's probably the suggested retail price. I bet you can get it for cheaper.
Just go on eBay and buy them used from somebody.
The Lawrence of Arabia set looks great. I think it's, what, the 50th anniversary or something like that.
Yeah, 50th anniversary. Peter Tool, Marshall. And what's his name? Got the David Lean got the Oscar for Best Picture. The director's cut has been restored from the original negative. What does that mean, a director's cut? It means there's more scenes in it, right?
Oh, you're talking about Lawrence of Arabia?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, there are some very provocative scenes in there. Not very provocative, but they were cut out of some of the early releases. But I know one scene with Jose Ferrara that was cut out, which is very important to the film, actually.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Game of Thrones, the complete first season. That's $99. Friends, the complete series. Now, this is interesting. Here was this amazingly popular program that I never watched, I never saw ever when it was running. And the other show that was very, very popular that I never saw when it was running because I was at Farmer's Market every Thursday night for 6 years was Seinfeld.
Mm-hmm.
So I never saw Seinfeld till it was in reruns. And then I got to realizing what everybody was always talking about, the Seinfeld thing. You know? Mm-hmm. I was thinking of them all the time. I go, who is this guy? You know? Anyway, Friends, but I have watched a Friends rerun. And it's a cute little show.
It's great that with DVDs these days where you can get the whole complete shebang.
I don't want $279 worth of them. You know what I mean? I mean, that's more friends than I can afford. Fugitive, Most Wanted Edition, a complete series, $226. You mean to tell me this from the TV show? Yes, this is 120 episodes watching Dr. Kimball running for his life.
Hey, I watched that show back in the day. David Jensen.
Oh, so did I. The
one-armed man. Hey, I think the last two episodes of The Fugitive were one of the most watched television shows, at least at the time.
And the other one, and they screwed it up here, this is when we had Falcon Cable. One of the most watched TV shows of all time was the last episode of MASH.
Mm-hmm.
And Falcon Cable screwed it up.
Oh.
So they re-ran it the next day.
Oh. I really enjoyed The Fugitive, now that you bring it up. A Quinn Martin production.
Quinn Martin production, you're right about that. Yeah, I liked it too. My brother and I used to watch together, and it didn't make any sense. The poor guy kept running around and getting.
Oh, yeah, talk about that the guy had.
He had 120 different jobs. That's the weird part about this. 120 episodes, 120 jobs.
Yeah, that's right.
It's pretty amazing, you know? It was easier to find work back then. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the complete classic series, that's $99. Desperate Housewives, the complete collection, is $149. I've never watched Desperate. I've never cared to watch it. The Incredible Mel Brooks, an irresistible collection of unhinged comedy. So this is, it features Young Frankenstein, Blazing Saddles. He's known for that. The new release includes 5 DVDs and 1 CD containing interviews, film clips, and archival television footage from throughout his career. In addition, there's a 60-page book featuring vintage photos and program notes.
Oh, that might be fun. You know, he was heavily involved with Get Smart, so.
Yeah, he's Mel Brooks. Yeah, he's the most Jewish person I've ever known. And his movies, he wants to make sure you know that he's Jewish.
Well, some of those jokes, I'll tell you.
All right. Entourage, the complete. I didn't know what that is, Entourage, the complete series.
Entourage?
Entourage.
Yeah, I've seen the title. So.
All right. And then we have Watchmen for $75. Carol Burnett. Now, Carol Burnett, I have to admit, it's absolutely a hoot to go on YouTube and look at old Carol Burnett things. I really get a kick out of doing it.
They
crack me up.
But who was
Tim Conway and Harvey Korman.
Harvey Korman. Yeah, oh, boy.
And And what was the other lady's name? She had a song. The lights went out in Dixie. The night the lights went out in Dixie. What was the other woman on the show? Do you remember? Her name's not coming to me.
No.
But then, you know, you and I, we're no good with names anyway. So I don't know why we're wondering why we don't remember that. Wait, let's see if maybe it has it on here. My favorite, Went with the Wind, a parody of Gone with the Wind. The stars include Jackson 5, Steve Martin, Betty White. But there are obviously some other. Do you remember the Gone with the Wind thing? That's on YouTube. She remember how in the movie they made a dress. The woman made it. The slave lady made a dress out of some curtains. Do you remember in Gone with the Wind?
Not this specific thing. No,
you don't remember that.
No,
she made this dress that was actually made out of curtain material, but it was real pretty and all that stuff. So, on Carol Burnett's take on it, it actually had the curtain rod going across her shoulders. It was really quite funny. You know what? I saw, I think it was at the Shumash Casino. Nancy and I went to see Harvey Korman and Tim Conway just kind of yakking at you. And people ask questions and stuff, and they were completely funny men. They just have the greatest sense of humor in the whole wide world.
Oh.
You know, of course, they practiced probably. They've been asked the same questions forever. But anyway, it was a very enjoyable thing. And Carol Burnett was at the PAC, I believe. And she did the same thing. She just answered, you know, just talked to people and talked about her career and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I know Harvey Korman passed away, a couple of years ago or so? But, boy, what a comic genius.
All right, here's your favorite. Actually, that's one I like. It's Tarantino's 8-film collection. So that includes all Inglourious Basterds, Pulp Fiction, Kill Bill 1 and 2, Reservoir Dogs, Jackie Brown. I didn't remember they did Jackie Brown. I like that movie. I thought it was a good movie.
Yeah, Robert De Niro and Samuel Jackson in that one. I think it's probably putting this out. Not only do a box set, but there's a new Quentin Tarantino film coming out around Christmas called Django Unchained. I think he's trying to do his own version of a Euro-Western Western.
Yeah. True Romance, which I don't remember at all. And Death Proof. They must have been real old ones.
I think he did the script for True Romance. Mm-hmm. There's a Tarantino box set.
What was the name of the other guy? Here we go again. We're going to try to remember the name of somebody, and we can't. He was on a TV series, and he was the guy that was the detective in Jackie Brown. Remember who the guy that was the detective? Or a bail. He was a bail bondsman. That's what he was, a bail bondsman.
I barely remember that.
I can't. It's a great. There's a great piece of music from it. There really is.
Well, Tarantino has some pretty great soundtrack music in his movies. That's
he
for
has
sure.
done. He did do good. Matter of fact, I might have. Would you want to hear it? Well, to go into our break, I think we're going to go into our break with a little bit of Tarantino music here. If I can pick it up real quick.
Do they have Grindhouse in there in his box set? Because
no,
I mean that
was didn't mention that.
It's pretty grisly, but it's kind of fun. It's an homage to those cheap exploitation films of the 70s, and he and Robert Rodriguez each did it was a double feature with fake trailers and things like that.
I should also finish this JAG, the complete series, Mission Impossible, a complete television series.
Ooh, now there you go.
That's something different. All in the Family, the complete series, and I don't know how All in the Family would affect you anymore. You know, I don't know if I think
I think the quality's there. It's almost going back to the Honeymooners. That still holds up great.
Boston Red Sox and Fenway Park 100th Anniversary Collector's Edition, right there. So in case you're a Red Sox fan, okay, we're gonna take a break here, but we're gonna go into it with. I know where it is here. Let me just give me a second here. We're gonna go into it with some Jackie Brown music. Right here, Bobby Womack. Right. Remember that was the music they kept playing in the thing, and then they're talking about how they like Bobby Womack music. All right, let me get this one up here. Here we go, Bobby Womack.
Break out of the ghetto was a day-to-day fight. being down so long, enough didn't cross my mind. But I knew there was a better way of life, and I was just trying to find. You don't know what you do till you put under pressure. Across 110th Street is a hell of a tester. Across 110th Street, pimps trying to catch a woman next week.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
Delicious things to eat.
The popcorn can't be beat. The sparkling drinks are just dandy. The chocolate bars and the candy. So let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
The fundamental things apply as time goes by.
As time goes by, say goodbye to your hearing. You might think you look bad in a hearing aid, but nobody's even going to know because they're invisible.
Here's looking at you, kid.
She can go to the prom and watch a subtitle flick.
Suppose you run your business and let me run mine.
My business is to tell you about Karen Scott Audiology. When it comes to hearing, she's the best for little kids, big kids, young adults, middle-agers, and we old elders. Sure, you don't hear well, so you're used to reading lips, but what about these lips? They hardly move. How are you going to know what this guy's saying?
Of all the gin joints in all the towns in all the world, she walks into mine.
See Dr. Karen Scott, so your next trip to the Palm will be enjoyable. For your hearing's sake, go see Karen Scott in the Walther Building next to the DMV in San Luis Obispo.
I think this is the beginning of a beautiful friendship.
Attention, coffee lovers. Slow Roasted Coffee is inviting you to Something's Brewing, a free event on Saturday, December 15th from noon to 4 at our warehouse in Los Osos. You'll expand your coffee IQ in ways you never imagined. From noon to 1, you'll sample and learn which chocolates and pastries pair best with our coffees. From 1 till 2, there's a coffee roasting demonstration. Then from 2 till 3, we'll be demonstrating how our automated bagging process works. In the final hour, from 3 to 4, there's going to be a cupping class, where you'll learn to drink and taste black coffee using a process similar to wine tasting. And we'll have free giveaways throughout the afternoon. Our retail store will be open and admission is free Saturday, December 15th from noon to 4 when we host Something's Brewing. Join Slow Roasted Coffee for Something's Brewing at our warehouse located in Los Osos at 1172 Los Olivos Avenue.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
Talk about a marriage made in hog heaven. Moe's Smokehouse Barbecue in the Palm Theater. They're right around the corner from each other. If you're here at the 415 show at the Palm, have a rack of ribs at Moe's after the show. Going to the Palm's 7 p.m. show, you got to go to Moe's for a pulled pork, chicken, or shredded beef sandwich. On the weekends, Moe's has six different salads you can enjoy before the 1:30 show. And when it's over, you can go back to Moe's, enjoy half a chicken or chicken sandwich, slaw, tater salad, fries, chips, onion rings, and lots of other things. It's Moe's and Moe Knows Barbecue. When you're enjoying a popcorn and soda at the Palm, leave room for some chipotle lime tacos and a pitcher of beer at Moe's. Moe's has food to go, and when was the last time you had some ribs at the Palm? I'm just kidding. Maybe. What makes Moe's so darn good is experience. The happiest city in America's first barbecue restaurant. How do you think we got the title? Moe's and the Palm Theater. Perfectly paired for your enjoyment.
All right. Where you go right there. Hey, that's a great idea to have a cupping at Slow Row, because then you can find out. And here's what I just said to Jim when I heard that, is what they should do is they should have slow-roasted coffee, different slow-roasted coffees you can taste, because there's a huge difference in coffees. I mean, the Ethiopian coffees taste a certain way. I really like Ethiopian coffee.
Mm.
All the different regions, they all have their own distinct flavor. But then have like a thing of Folgers and have a thing of Starbucks and have a couple others and say, okay, now which one tastes any good?
Mm-hmm.
I tell you who would win that right there. All right, we have. Let's do this. I think I'll start doing this. Oh, we need to do what we did the movies first before we do that. Twilight Saga: Breaking Dawn once again, $17 million. Skyfall, $16 million. Number three, Rise of the Guardians, at 13. Number four was Lincoln at 13. So these are all within the ballpark. Life of Pi number was number five at $12 million. Wreck-It Ralph stayed at number six at 6 million, at half that, and then there was three at around 6 million. Killing Them Softly, Red Dawn, and then we'll do 10. Right, Flight was number nine, and The Collection was number 10.
Yeah, not too many. You know, they opened a lot of these films about 2 or 3 weeks ago, and they're playing through. Actually, Bill, this is the I mentioned between Thanksgiving and Christmas is not usually the greatest movie going time, even though some of those films have been doing quite well. But again, we're getting ready for the holidays, and of course, this week, if you own any kind of, if you own your home, you got property taxes this week. You know, December 10th, it's a tough week. So I look at this week as sort of the week that people are prepping for the holidays. I don't think it's going to be too busy at the theater. The Christmas parade in San Luis tomorrow, I usually that, I mean, you can't even access downtown, so it's sort of a quiet
and we're not, and now somebody's complained that it's called they wrote a letter to the other, they said we shouldn't call it a Christmas parade because we're using city streets and city policemen and all that, so we should call it a holiday parade.
Each of us can call it whatever we want.
That's what I figured.
Yep.
I'm saying,
no, I don't think anybody will arrest us if we call it what we want.
I said this, and I meant this. I, you know, I'm not Jewish. If somebody said to me, Happy Hanukkah, mm-hmm. I'd be happy to have them say Happy Hanukkah.
Heck yeah.
I'd say, okay, Happy Hanukkah to you, too.
That's right.
That'd be fine with me.
That's right.
People are weird. People are weird. Due Tuesday, Ice Age Continental Drift, Ted, The Bourne Legacy, which I really want to see. Now, and that's right, that. And then one of yours is now in the stores, The Beast of the Southern Wild, which I did see.
And you didn't really like it all that much.
Well, it was just too real life, because it was real life.
Yeah,
and it was a really sad real life. It was a pathetic affair there.
You know, it's interesting, Bill, when I noticed these DVD releases. Here's interesting about the movie industry is you've got Beast of the Southern Wild and this area, and then on the other end of the spectrum, I think it's released this week, is the Batman, the Dark Knight Rises. And when you got a movie industry, when you got that difference and that diversity, I think it's pretty interesting.
Yeah, let's talk about what else is coming out. The Odd Life of Timothy Green, and that's that Walt Disney thing where the guy's part plant and part kid.
Yeah, that one did pretty well at the box office, I think.
Hope Springs with Tommy Lee Jones and Meryl Streep. I don't know how that. I don't know how well that did. I don't think it did that well.
Didn't do that well, but it was quite a good film.
Dark Knight, and then Sparkle, and lastly, Men in Black 3. I think that did okay, didn't it?
It did just okay. I mean, I think they expected more, but, you know.
What's interesting is who sort of seems to have lost his star power a little bit is Will Smith.
It's too bad. I really, you know, what a great screen presence.
Yeah,
maybe he's
a great
just
actor.
Maybe he's just acting in things that are
suck.
Little,
you know what I mean? Like Wild Wild West and some of these other things that you just stay out of.
Well, you know, I didn't see it, but a few years ago, when my daughter loves the film, it's, what is it, The Pursuit of Happiness, where he's not playing like a superhero or, you know, one of the Men in Black or something. And, you know, given the opportunity, he's a great actor.
What was the name of the thing where he was like Superman? I forget.
Oh, but it was a name.
It was Gomer or something.
Yeah, but
anyway.
But he wasn't. But he wasn't good because he was drunk all the time.
He was drunk
right?
all the time. But I have to tell you the truth. I was very entertained by that movie. I was entertained by the Wild Wild West. It was preposterous. I mean, it was completely preposterously stupid from that standpoint. But if you could get over the fact the guy's in a machine that walks, and it was run by steam somehow, if you could get over past that, it was cute.
It was fun. Oh, of course, there was a TV show I watched way back
when.
Oh,
wow. Well, heck, we all did.
Robert Conrad. And I forget who was his sidekick. okay, but anyway, Wild Wild West was a fun TV show. It was almost like the Western as James Bond or a spy sort of a feel, but it was in the West. It was fun.
Well, then he did, and then he did after that. It was another great series was Bob Bob Black Sheep.
Oh.
Remember that?
I vaguely remember that, but
and,
boy,
and he
interesting.
Did a, he did an Ever-Ready commercial where he put a battery on it, showed us I dared to knock it off. Now, he was only about 4 feet tall himself. So I thought, if I were you, I wouldn't do that. Okay, fine. All right, is there anything else coming out this week we should tell anybody about?
You know, again, this is, I think, is a week where things are just going to play through. I don't think there's anything new really opening up this week. But in 2 weeks, well, week Friday, we have Hitchcock. That's when The Hobbit is going to open. And then as we get closer to Christmas, there's just a whole bunch, because not only are we going to have the holiday releases, but any of the so-called Oscar contenders are going to be, you know, released. They have to be released in this year to qualify for the Oscars.
All right, let's talk about what's going on at the Palms, shall we? Because this is the last day of I'm naked of sessions of sessions.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you didn't get to see it, and I don't know if I'm going to make it or not, anyway, sessions last day. And then so tomorrow we have a new movie starting at the Palm,
mm-hmm.
and it was well received here. I don't really care what the ticket does, but anyway, this is this Chasing Ice.
Oh, boy.
Now, tell us about Chasing Ice.
Well, I saw the preview of this about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and it looks like a National Geographic type documentary of these guys who for 3 years used something like 20 or 30 cameras up in the Arctic and wanted to, as long as there was light, they were filming, and they just wanted to record what's happening up there, where, you know, we hear about ice melting, you know, in, you know, we just, didn't we say last week there was a piece of ice or a hunk of ice the size of the United States that melted.
Right. Oh, yeah.
So this is the documentation of it, and I think it's actually funded by National Geographic, but it is utterly fascinating, at least from the standpoint of looking at the trailer, which is all I've seen. But if you want to see what's happening in the Arctic and this dramatic shift to this dramatic change that's occurring, it's been getting incredible reviews, and I guess just to see this, to see what's happening, is kind of earth-shattering.
And it really keeps your attention the whole time.
It's not very long. I think it runs about 80 minutes, 75 or 80 minutes. But I can tell you, I did send you the trailer, and yeah. when we're off there, check it out. I think you'll watch the trailer, and you'll want to see this thing.
Cool. All right, other things that are going on. We have at the Palmage. We have Anna Karenina and with Keira Knightley, and how is that being received?
Well, a little mixed reviews. Either people love it and they want to see it again, others aren't warming up to it. I'm not sure if they're looking for a more traditional rendition of the story. This is absolutely gorgeously produced. I mean, it's a visual feast. But we did very well with it. In fact, even though I said that in between Thanksgiving and Christmas, it's slow, Anna Karenina has done very well for us. We're going to be running it for the next 3 or 4 weeks, probably through Christmas.
As soon as you have anything that's Russian, you think of snow anyway. So, you know, you think of winter. It just fits in there. So.
Yeah. But, this is over-the-top gorgeous to watch. It's,
really?
It's fabulous.
How neat is that?
It's a visual feast.
Okay, the Lake Quartet. I think I heard something about the Lake Quartet, but I can't remember what it was. Anyway,
we're in about our fourth week, and yeah. This is a film that people keep stopping to say, Jim, I saw Lake Quartet and I loved it. It's when you get that sort of feedback, you want to hang on to a film. Again, it's during this kind of slow playing time, but this is a film I really love. Philip Seymour Hoffman, Christopher Walken is great, and he doesn't play an eccentric role. And it is about a world-famous quartet performing a piece by Beethoven, and it's really a wonderful film. I highly, highly recommend it.
We should mention also that there is going to be they're going to do the Little Theater is going to do It's a Wonderful Life.
Oh.
Do you know, can I confess something to you? I have never watched What's a Wonderful Life all the way through.
Oh, Bill, do it.
I never have.
Oh, do it.
I know. It's like, you know, somebody saying I've never watched The Wizard of Oz. It's like, what?
Oh, Bill. You know, I mean, the funny thing about It's a Wonderful Life that they don't say too often is when it was first released in, was it, late 40s, early 50s, it was a box office flop. I mean, it didn't really do that well. And
really?
And it became this perennial Christmas favorite, I want to say, 20, 30 years ago. I mean, it just sort of went into oblivion for a number of years after its release, and then all of a sudden got rediscovered. It'd be interesting to look that up, but, I mean, it wasn't always the Christmas favorite that it's become.
Did Bing Crosby's White Christmas become a hit as soon as the movie was over? Like, did it just take off? Or I don't know the answer to that.
I don't know the answer to that one either, but that's a great film, too.
All right. There's all kinds of things going on all over the place. But here's the other thing, too. Do we miss anything at the... No, we didn't. We got Chasing Ice, the new one. Now, wait, here's two I did forget to mention. Okay, let me just do this. Let me go backwards. Gerard Butler's in a movie called Playing for Keeps, which apparently this person poo-pooed that one.
Yeah, I don't know much about that. Gerard Butler, really kind of he's in a lot of movies, and he's quite a presence, British, I guess. And
he says a sexualized romantic comedy built around kids' soccer. That's really odd.
There you go.
Oh, okay, there you go. Right there. And then, not surprisingly, Bruce Willis is another movie nobody likes.
Lay,
The Favorite.
Yeah.
It's about gambling. It's a gambling comedy.
Yeah.
It says it's too on the nose with too few surprises.
I confess to knowing nothing about that movie, so I should, but I don't.
Rebecca Hall. I don't know. You know, I don't know what it is about that guy. I you know, Bruce Willis is. I think he's been in some very, very great movies. You know, but he just seems to go from right at the top, you know, right to the bottom, and up to the top and down to the bottom. It's just kind of really weird, just, you know, with the movies he appears in.
Yeah, well, he does like to work, and so he is in a lot of movies. But there's going to be another Die Hard, by the way. Another Day to Die Hard or something like that, or A Good Day to Die Hard, I think it's called.
Well, they wouldn't let him use his favorite line in the last one, so I don't see why we should see the next one.
Well, you know what the you know what the line is in the new one? It takes place in Russia, so it's Yippee Yippee Kaye, Mother Russia. It's on the poster.
You know what's really weird? This is what's really weird. The fact that they, what were they going to give an X rating for the one word? One word.
I think an R rating.
No, I think it was going to be an X rating.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
There was a big deal about it. They changed it. I don't think they'd mind an R rating, would they have?
Well, these days, I think they wanted the PG. They would have said it.
PG 13.
I don't think it would have gotten an X, but an R for the MF word.
I got to say it. Okay, well, that's interesting. Anyway.
But yeah, it's like it's trademark in those movies. It's kind of,
yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, well, I guess they upped the ante on it. Maybe you're right. Maybe it went from a PG-13 to an R because they were going to use it.
There was probably somebody in a boardroom somewhere, and they said, listen, if we make this a PG-13, we'll make, you know, $20 more million.
That which is true. I mean, that makes sense, really. I think more and more often, we're seeing more of that happening where they're saying, okay, it's got to be edgy enough to where kids will like it, but not so edgy they can't see it. You know, so that it's a big. This is a big gamble they do nowadays with that, but it's understandable because you know we have sort of a second wave of the baby boomers' grandchildren are coming along here, and it's a second wave of humanity.
Well, you know, I mentioned this before, Bill. We showed this film called "This Film Is Rated," or it's all about the rating system, which we really don't know a whole lot about, and actually who creates these ratings. But some of the rules are pretty ridiculous. The F word said twice, I think, gets the PG-13. You say it a third time, R. Now, why is that?
I don't know.
There are certain, you know, parameters that somehow make it a PG-13 and an R, which get kind of, you know, into a gray area sometimes. So, I mean, those ratings, they're kind of, if you knew the rules or, if you know, what I should say is if parents are concerned about their kids going to some movies, it's not too hard to find out why it gets an R or why it gets a PG-13.
Oh, I'll tell you, there's a website you can go to. Called Dove, D-O-V-E, and it's kind of a religious organization, and they rate movies.
Hmm.
And so they'll say whether or not your kids should see it. They'll say how if they're swearing, if they're smoking, if there's sex, if there's anything like that. They'll say what it's about.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's interesting. I have a 12-year-old nephew. And when there's a really great PG-13 movie, I'm saying to myself, it's only a year. Come on, Dad. Come on, let me. Hey, come on. He can see it. He's 12, for gosh sakes. Eh?
I it's good that parents, or if they're concerned about their kids, to know these rules, I think, and maybe be informed about what their kids are seeing. On the other hand, the actual rules can be kind of odd. I mean, again, that F word rule, you know, three times somehow it's detrimental, but two times I guess it's okay.
Yeah, that's interesting. It was, speaking of which, you know what, Tarantino's Reservoir Dogs was on the other day, and I tuned it in at the beginning of it, and boy, talk about swearing.
Oh,
it was
almost
overdone. I mean, but then again, you look at the kind of guys that are doing robbing banks and whatnot, you know, I mean, what's it supposed to be? The place that it's never shown up the way it would really show up is military movies. You know, I've never seen a military movie that's even remotely like what you heard in the military.
Well, how about Full Metal Jacket, the first half?
Well, okay. Well, yeah, that's cute. Yeah,
the sergeant comes out with some
sergeant, real... Yeah, he comes out with some stuff.
Yeah.
And I have to say, I like that movie. I didn't like the second half of the movie, really. I didn't care about the second half of the movie. But the first part was so much like Boot Camp was, it just cracked me up.
Yeah.
And I would tell people, I say, if you want to know what Boot Camp was like, watch the first half of this movie.
You'll
just absolutely... The only thing that was disappointing to me is there is no way in the whole wide world you could come off a firing range and have a live round that you'd smuggle off the firing range. There's just no way you could do that.
So
when he shot him, the sergeant himself, or the sergeant himself, it was just never going to happen.
Interesting. Yeah. Although, you know, it's interesting, Bill, that film came out, I think, in the late 80s, and it was, well, not to get into a tough subject here, but, you know, we get into the Iraq War and the wars of the 21st century, and realizing how many suicides there are in the military. And, you know, there was one in this movie that was like 20 years old that I didn't really think about much. But then those statistics come out about suicides in the military, which seem to be more than I would even imagine.
Oh, it's quite amazing.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to have a couple more Thursdays before Christmas, and we look forward to it. So join us again next Thursday, if you will, at 106 and 7/8 for another round of Reel to Reel with Jim D and Bill Benneke. And don't forget,
we're only in it for the movies.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then.
Happy trails.